Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today. You may be seated. Take your Bibles. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 15, as we continue our study in that great chapter of John's Gospel. Today we're going to behold Jesus, the lover of your soul. We're looking at joy and how to have a life filled with joy. The question we started with last week, we'll start with again this week. What is your level of joy this morning? What is the level of joy in your life this morning? Zero being you're so miserable you wish you would die. 10 being you're so happy you think you're in heaven. You're so joyful you think heaven has come down and you're there. Now, where would you fit on this continuum if you're honest about the amount of joy you have? Now, joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is a feeling of elation that comes because of our circumstances. Joy is a deep, abiding sense of being right with God, that you're at peace with God. There's a sense of contentment. There's a sense of fulfillment. So as you look at your life, what is the level that you have of you're at peace with God, everything is good between you and God, that you have a sense of completion, you have a sense of fulfillment and contentment in your life? Jesus in John 15 says this as he's talking to his disciples. They've already had the Lord's Supper in the upper room. They are still in the upper room. He will leave in chapter 17 and go to the Garden of Gethsemane where he will be arrested and then he will be crucified the next day. And so we're right at the end of his life. And he's talking to his disciples and he says to them, "These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." Now, where do you think Jesus' joy is on this continuum? My joy may be in you. You think Jesus is right about 2 or 10? 10. You know it. And look at what he says. My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, you think he thinks full is 5? No, no. Full is all the way over to 10. Full. So here we have Jesus saying, "These things I've spoken to you." So there's some things he has said previous to this statement that he says are the keys to having a full, joyful life, to having his joy in us, and that joy being full. He has said some things that if we will believe and receive and apply those truths, our joy should be a 10. Now, we looked at 2 of those keys last week. I told you there were 3 keys that will unlock God's joy in your life. It's like a joyful life is behind the door and it's got 3 locks on it. You need 3 keys. Now, we looked at 2 keys last week. But just because you have 2 keys, you can't get in that door. You got to have all 3. Now, the first key we saw was Jesus has set you free from the performance mentality to the abiding mentality. Now, let me say, it goes, I hope, without saying that these truths only apply to the Christian, only to those who have been born again into God's kingdom. So you must be a Christian in order to apply these truths and to have the full joy that Jesus promises. He's talking to his disciples and to those who will be his disciples through the ages. So it's a must that you be a believer. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do only a little bit." No, nothing. no thing. Now, if we can't do anything without Jesus, and it just stands to reason, our performance is not the key to fruitfulness. You take the vine, and you have the branch growing out of the vine, and Jesus says, we are the branches. You separate that branch from the vine. Are those grapes going to continue to grow, or are they going to shrivel up and die? They're going to shrivel up and die. Because the branch doesn't have life in itself. Its life comes from the vine. Jesus says that God does not measure us by our performance, our level of performance, but by our abiding. Are we simply resting, trusting, abiding in Jesus? And this sets us free from the idea that, you know, whatever I do doesn't measure because it's not perfect. I mean, God's perfect, right? So you would think if I'm going to do anything that He's going to be pleased with, it's got to be perfect. Well, that's not the way God thinks. That's the way we think. God looks at us in Jesus, and guess what He sees? Perfection. He sees the perfection of Jesus when He looks at me, because I am clothed with Jesus. And He doesn't expect my human efforts to be perfect. He knows they will not be. He knows our weakness, as the Scripture says. As a father knows the weakness of his children, so God knows our weakness. He knows we're but made of dust. And so He didn't look at perfection. He simply says, are you abiding in the vine? And if we're abiding in the vine, He is happy. He is pleased. And then the second truth. God is guaranteed to use you to His glory as you abide in Christ. Look, Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Now, I am guaranteed as a Christian God's going to use me. Why? Because the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one responsible for seeing to it that the grapes produce. He fertilizes it when it needs to be fertilized. He puts the right kind of fertilizer on it. He waters it when it needs to be watered to see that it's watered. He prunes it when it needs to be pruned, and He prunes it the right way. It is a vine dresser that is responsible for the branches bearing fruit. Nobody blames the branches if they don't bear much fruit. They look at the vine dresser. You didn't do something right. You haven't been tending to the vine as you should be. Well, God is a vine dresser, and He is a perfect vine dresser. Now, who is glorified when you bear fruit? Who? The Father. Yes, God. Well, God's all about being glorified. So, if He's the one responsible for you bearing fruit, and He is glorified when you do bear fruit, guess what? He's going to see to it that you bear fruit as you abide in Him. It is a guarantee. This combats the lie of Satan that, well, I'm no use to God. God's not going to use me. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I don't have any abilities. No. God will use you because it brings glory to Him as you abide in Him. Now, the third truth, and I told you this was, in my opinion, the greatest of all the truths. This is the exciting truth. This is the truth that if you will grasp it, if you will understand it, if you will believe it, it will set you free. I mean, for the rest of your lives. And what is that truth? That Jesus loves you just as the Father loves Him. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Wow. Man, we must realize this awesome, inconceivable truth. I mean, Jesus loves me, weak, sinful, imperfect, me, as much as God, the holy, righteous Father, loves Him, the perfect, holy, righteous Son. Now, do you think Jesus is lovable? You know He is. Do you think He ever did anything that was unlovable when He lived on earth? You think He's ever done anything unlovable throughout eternity? No. The Father loves Him, and the Father loves me. And if you're a Christian, He loves you just like He loves Jesus. Now, we could spend weeks, months, and we need to spend time just meditating on that truth, because it is so foreign to anything we can understand that it just goes over our heads. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to let me understand this truth. I've been praying all week. Lord, open people's hearts and minds through Your Spirit. The Spirit's got to reveal this. This is revelation truth, not reason truth. It's no way you and I can understand it unless the Spirit of God opens our minds and hearts to receive it. And that's my prayer. And I hope it's your prayer. With the same degree and depth of love that the Father loves Jesus, He loves you. See, just as, that's a word of comparison in the Greek. Just as, the same as the Father loves me, I also loved you. Exactly. Now, Jesus wants us to bask in that truth. Look, abide in my love. Now, abide means to remain. It means to stay. It means to be settled. It means, I think here, to experience that love. To bask in it. You've seen anybody just bask in the sun, just sitting there letting the sun just soak them up? He just wants us to bask in His love. Just let His love just soak all over us. Trust in His love. He wants you to enjoy this great love He has for you. Not just know it in your mind, but I believe He wants us to experience it in our heart. He wants us to have an emotional joy about how much He loves us. Now, this is a major key to opening the door of a joyful life. To realize how much Jesus loves you. Well, how do we know how much He loves us? How can we figure this out? Well, we got to say, how does He love? The Father loved Him. And then the way the Father loves Him, guess what? That's the way He loves me. And that's the way He loves you. So let's look a few moments at how does the Father love the Lord Jesus. Then I can tell how He loves me. First, it is an infinite love. Infinite. Now, immediately when I use that word infinite, you and I are at a total disadvantage to understand what it means. Infinite is in the realm of God. Infinite, in the word infinite and infinity, only belongs when a conversation about God. Because we are finite. We are limited. Only God is unlimited. Infinite. Without measure, without bonds or bounds. God must reveal this truth to us. Now, as humans, we love with a finite love. And as much as we might want to describe the greatness of our love, I remember when my kids were young, that I would go in at night and would pray with them and have them a devotion and put them to bed, and we kind of had this little game, and I'd say, you know how much I love you? How much, Daddy? If every blade of grass on all the earth was a million I love yous, that wouldn't be enough to say how much I love you. Daddy, you know how much I love you? How much? If every tree and every leaf on every tree in all the world was a million I love yous, it wouldn't be enough. Now, we're trying to express our love, but you know, it's finite. There's a number of leaves out there. There are a number of blades of grass. There are a set number. There are a set number of grains of sand on the seashore. So even when we try to express infinite love, we can't even come close because we are finite beings. But when God the Father looks at His love for Jesus, it is without limit. It is without end. It is without measure. And just as the Father loves Jesus with an infinite love, so Jesus loves you with that same infinite unmeasurable love. Think about it. His love for you is without measure. It cannot be measured. As much as you might try to imagine how much He loves you, your greatest imagination will fall infinitely short of how much He really loves you. Let me tell you something else. He loves you with an infinite love, as if you were the only person on earth. I remember when we had our first child, there was such great love in my heart for my child. And when we found out we were going to have a second child, I remember worrying that I might not love that second child as much as I loved the first child. I mean, I had never loved anybody like I loved the first child, and so I just couldn't imagine how in the world can I love a second child as much, because I was thinking I was going to have to give away some of my love for the first one and let it go over to the second one. But all of you that have two children know what happened. God just gave me more love. I didn't have to take any love away from the first one. He just gave me more love so I could love the second one and the first one and the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one and the sixth one all the same. Hallelujah. That tells me God, who cannot be divided, cannot be diluted, loves you with an infinite love just as if you were the only human being on planet Earth. Imagine, you're the only person on earth, nobody else. It's just you and God. And He loves you infinitely. Well, add a second person. Doesn't matter. His love is infinite. He loves them infinitely as well. Add three, add four, add a billion, add 7 billion. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, Jesus says the Father loves Him infinitely, and He loves you with the same infinite love. The Bible says it this way: for your loving kindness is great above the heavens. Now notice it doesn't say your loving kindness reaches to the heavens. If that were the case, there would be a limit. See, because you hit the stars, that's it. You're in the heavens. But it says above. Above the stars. Above the heavens. Meaning, it never ceases. It never stops. It cannot be measured. Can you imagine that kind of love that God has for you? I don't deserve it. No, you don't deserve it. Yes, you're unlovable sometimes. I know you are. I've experienced some of it. But that doesn't matter, because He's not loving you because of who you are. He's loving you because of who He is. God is love. And He wants you, Jesus wants you to bask in His infinite love for you. Soak it up. Meditate on it. Say, Lord, please reveal to me Your infinite love for me. You should spend weeks just saying, Lord, show it to me. I just can't grasp it. Show me that infinite love You have for me. For here is great joy, to realize His infinite love for you. Secondly, the Father's love for the Son is an everlasting love. That follows, since God's love is infinite, it must also be everlasting. That is, it will never end. It will last forever. Has there ever been a time that the Father did not love the Son with an infinite love? No. You go past time. Go to eternity past, and God the Father loved the Son with an infinite love. Project into eternity future, and the Father will still love the Son with an infinite love. It will never cease. It has never ceased to be. Now that tells me that if God's going to love me like He loves, if Jesus is going to love me like He loves, the Father loves Him, that His love for me is also everlasting. His infinite love for me will never cease. Look forward. Never, ever will He cease to love me with an infinite love. I mean, I can't do anything to make Him stop. But let me tell you, it also goes to eternity past. Before the foundation of the world, before anything was, you were in the mind and heart of God. And He chose those that He would place His infinite love upon. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, there's never been a time, and even before time, that God didn't love you and Jesus didn't love you with an infinite love. You think you did something to cause Him to love you? No. He loved you before you ever were. With that infinite love. For all eternity, Jesus will love His own without measure. You never have to worry about it ceasing, stopping, Him getting tired. No. The Bible puts it this way. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting that way, everlasting this way. But that covers everything. I mean, it encompasses past time and history. Everything. He has always loved His own. Bask in that truth. Bask in the truth. There's never been a time Jesus didn't love me infinitely. Never been a time. Never. I mean, and we're going beyond time now, so we're limited when we talk about time. That's from creation to now. There was not time before there was creation. So we're going on past, way back. I mean, you can't even stop. You don't stop. It just keeps going. No end to it. That's infinite. You're talking about God now and His love. He has always loved me forever. And He's never going to stop. Hallelujah. Nothing I can do can make Him stop. You preacher, you can't do... No, I can't do anything to make Him stop. Because I didn't do anything to make Him start. Amen? No way. Bask in it. Not only is His love everlasting, and not only is it infinite, but it is uninfluenced. The Father's love for Jesus is free, spontaneous, and uncaused. Jesus did not have to do anything to earn the Father's love. He didn't have to perform to a certain level in order for the Father to love Him. The Father has been committed to love without measure for eternity His Son, Jesus. And nothing can ever change that reality. And just as the Father loved Jesus, so He loves you. It's an uninfluenced love. Uninfluenced by our actions. His love for the Christian is infinitely without measure, always, regardless of anything you do or do not do. Whether you read your Bible tomorrow or not, He's not going to love you any less. He's not going to love you anymore because He loves you infinitely. Quit trying to make God love you. Quit trying to do things that you think will make Him love you more. Don't worry about doing things that will make Him love you less, because He will not. Jesus will not love you any less than infinitely. And He'll not love you any shorter than eternity. His love is everlasting. Oh, He loves His bride. And His love is not based on what His bride does, but on Him. Oh, His love is uninfluenced. It is unconditional. Deuteronomy, Moses was talking about God's unconditional love and about God choosing Israel to be His own people. And look what he says. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the other peoples. For you are the fewest of all peoples. In other words, Moses said, God didn't choose you guys because there's anything great about y'all. I mean, He could have chosen Egypt because they were the greatest nation at that time. But no, He did. He chose you guys, but not because of anything about y'all. But, verse 8, but because the Lord loved you. And He kept the promise the oath that He swore to Abraham. He loved you because He loved you. He loved you because He chose, not based on anything in you, but only His sovereign grace. He loves me because He chose to do so. Nothing in me. Not anything in me. It's just His grace. That is so freeing for me to realize, hey, it's unconditional. I need to bask in that love. My Lord will love me without measure throughout all eternity, and I cannot do anything to alter that reality. When I wake up tomorrow, He's going to love me just as much as He loves me today. Not a bit less, not a bit more, because it's infinite. And the same is true of you as a believer, as a Christian. It's all about Him, not about you. You want to find joy, you've got to get your eyes off yourself and get it on Jesus. The only place to find joy is in God. He made us that way. He made us so the only true joy, the only true contentment can be found in Him, in focusing on Him, not on our life. Bask in His unconditional love for you. You cannot lose it. You did not earn it. Hallelujah. Fourth truth. His love is personal love. His love is personal and real. The Father's love for the Lord Jesus was one of personal involvement. His love was not abstract or removed. It was real and personal. The Father was intimately involved in Jesus' everyday life. Remember we saw in John 5, where Jesus says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing. Now that's an intimate personal love. That Jesus says, I can't do anything unless I see the Father doing it, and the Father loves me, so He shows me what He's doing. That's personal involvement. God is not off aloof in heaven in His love for us, or the Lord Jesus while He was on earth. He was intimately involved in every part of His life. And just as the Father loved Jesus, so He loves you. It's a personal love. He's involved in your life. He's involved in your daily life. What bothers you, He's concerned about. What bothers you, He loves and wants to know about it. And He wants you to tell Him about it. The picture of the vine and the branches shows this close connection, doesn't it? The picture of the sheep and the shepherd shows this close connection, this personal involvement that God has with Jesus and Jesus has with you. Now, you think it's as good as it can get, don't you? It's going to get a little better. How, you say, can it get better? Look at what Jesus said in John 17. Over in John 17, listen. Jesus praying. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know, now listen, that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Not only does the Lord Jesus say He loves you like the Father loves Him, He says the Father loves you like He loves Jesus. So, hey, we got them all loving us. Isn't that wonderful? It is. That's how good it gets. We need to rest in that. We need to soak it up. We need to let it run all over our lives. So if you're going to have that full joy, you've got to first of all realize the kind of love that Jesus and the Father have for you. But that's not enough. It's not enough just to know it's an infinite, everlasting, unconditional, and personal love. No, no. It's not only enough to know He loves you just like the Father loves Him, and the Father loves us just like He loves Him. But you must abide in His love for you. He says in verse 10, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love. Now, by just first reading that, you may think, now that means I got to do something. You mean I got to keep His commandments in order for Him to love me? Is that what it says? No. It says if you're going to abide in His love, if you're going to bask in His love, if you're going to enjoy His love for you, then you need to live in faithful obedience. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, He loves you and He will never stop loving you and He will always love you infinitely, but you will not be able to experience that love if you're living in disobedience. You will not be able to sense His love for you if you're living in disobedience. If He's shown you something in the Word, a relationship you need to break off, a habit you need to stop, and you're not obeying that, you can try all you want to bask in His love, but you're not going to be able to because you're going to be thinking about that disobedience. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He said, Dad, give me my inheritance. I want it now. I want to find my joy someplace else. I hadn't found it here with you. So he takes off. You know, he goes to the foreign land. He squanders all of his money. Now, does the father love him any less when he's there in that pig pen eating pig slop? Does the father love him any less at all? No. But does he experience the Father's love in that pig pen? In that disobedience? Does he experience his Father's love for him? No. But once he comes to his senses and realizes, my Father's servants have it better than this, I'll just go back and be a servant. And then he gets up and he goes back in repentance. And when he sees his Father, what does his Father do? Runs out, grabs him, hugs him, said, bring the robe, bring the ring, kill the fattened calf, we're going to have a party. My son who is dead is now alive. He's back. Now, at that point, he could experience his father's love, couldn't he? Because he was in obedience. And if you're going to bask in God's love, you must abide and keep his commandments. You must live in faithful obedience. That's the only way. He's going to still love you just the same. Now, we've established that, right? But you're not going to be able to experience it. You're not going to be able just to, oh, thank you for that. Love, Jesus, because this disobedience is coming up all the time. You're knowing you're disobeying. You're knowing you're not living in obedience. So Jesus not only wants us to understand how much He loves us, but He wants us to know if we're going to really experience that love for ourselves and understand that we've got to live in faithful obedience. That's why He says, I experience my Father's love because I abide in His love because I keep His commandments. And if you're going to abide in my love, you got to walk in faithful obedience. It's that easy. And as we walk in faithful obedience, we experience the joy of the infinite, everlasting, unconditional, perfect, personal love of God the Father and God the Son. Will you join me in asking the Holy Spirit to reveal this to us? I know we cannot understand it. It's got to be a revelation thing, but God wants us to understand it. But we need to just pull away by ourselves and say, Lord Jesus, just open up this passage of Scripture. Just read it over and over and say, show me the infinite love You have for me. And if you'll ever grasp it, you'll have a joy that you've never known before. You'll have a sense of being at peace with God. Let's pray. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our Minister of Community Connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcome at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody, and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.